It's a wonderful Monday morning here, and always a wonderful time for the sun to rise in our hearts and give us new life. So praise the Lord. This is number 7 in our evangelism class, and we're getting ready to just take some more steps. Hi, Geraldine. I saw that heart. Love you. Miss you. Been thinking about you, girl. Love you so much. And so I'm just going to read a few paragraphs from the actual book, Change the World Evangelism. That's a thought. It's a wonderful book. And the students have it. They're going through it and answering the questions. But I'll read a couple paragraphs, and then we're going to transition into some practical methods of evangelism that we're working with here. And most of you know we're fixing to go to Ireland, which the young adults will be doing lots of evangelism to both children and young people. We're going to be doing a God-given, Holy Spirit-inspired musical that the whole team is writing together. In fact, the Lord's been inspiring us in a brand new and fresh way with creative ways of reaching the people of this generation. And, we were rejoicing together the other day how the Lord's not religious. He's just full of life and full of love, full of creativity and ways to let his light shine and his love flow. And for fear of using the word relevant, it is. He does come forth in ways to the Jews. He becomes Jews, to the Greeks, Greeks, the Romans, Romans. He has a way of reaching through all the cultural differences or places where we're at, and even coming to meet us where we're at. And the Lord is just continuing to answer your prayers in that. And we're also preparing things for children. We're going to bring out puppets and kids' tracks and go to the beaches and the promenades by them and other places. And we're going to share Jesus with kids. And we've got a wonderful, creative Jesus-filled group. I know my niece Grace is just got a whole bunch of Jesus when it comes to just pouring out life. And I pray for her. She's the youngest one in our evangelism team that's going to Ireland. And yet she has so much Jesus. And she, I think all the young adults would agree, is just a tremendous part of the team. She carries the Spirit of Christ in a measure that lifts up all of our arms. And though she be young, Christ is in her in a very real way. So pray for her. Pray for her. We've also got Asia and Isaac Wallace, who are also just coming, stepping up and bringing life and carrying the load and ministering and part of the team in a very real way. And seeing Jesus coming together so that we can carry his life beyond our walls to others. And it's exciting. For his sake and for those hearts he can reach. So thank you for your prayers. Let them continue. Let the Lord be glorified through each one of us, through his entire body. So I'm going to read. This is from page 12 in the Change the World Evangelism book. And there's a couple paragraphs after a few questions. It starts about mid-page. And I shall read. The hope of worldwide evangelism begins in a very small way. And it begins with you and me, right where we're at. Whoopee! Yay! That's exciting. We begin in Judea, then move to Samaria, and finally reach out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to skip to the next paragraph. We must have a long-range vision, but we will accomplish no more than what we are doing right now, right here. Vision is great, but it's useless without some tangible action, which has to start in small ways. So be encouraged, those of you who are just doing little things with great faith and large vision. You got to start somewhere. You got to start right here, right now, with a group of crazy people who are just insane enough to believe if we open our hearts to the living God and let it be his son in us and don't make it pro-self or a program, but just broken vessels releasing lamb, the Father's going to bless that. And he can take it to Samaria, to Judea, Samaria, or wherever he wants to. But one small step is where every great vision that God uses through his Lamb starts. And so, you know, I know in myself I can get like, oh my gosh, am I crazy here? Am I crazy? What are we doing? I shouldn't, you know. And the Lord's like, is it my son? Is it birthed by my spirit? Are you doing it by Christ and for others? You know, is it filled with my love and just not your ambition? Or, you know what I mean, ministry ideals, just Jesus. If it's that, fear not, little one. But take that step and keep taking those steps. And before too long, you'll look back and see the glory of God and hearts and lives touched by the living Jesus and changed, not by us or our program, but by the living Jesus that we kept faithful to from the very baby beginnings where we look crazy and stayed with him till the end. Amen? And that's important. It's important because a lot of times if you're pioneering a fresh new way of evangelism, you can be plagued with thoughts like, well, nothing's happening, or it's just me and my dog, or, you know, I'm riding the track and my dog's handing it out, or, you know, or I'm sitting here at work and I'm sitting here with the Holy Spirit jotting sentences down in my notebook. Can this be God? You bet it can be God. It can be God all the way. If that heart of yours is sitting in the Holy of Holies at your workplace and you've got your ephod on in spirit, oh my goodness, what God can do. I've got a box full of napkins from Whataburger to prove it. I go back to my Whataburger napkins when I was working the drive-thru and I had the napkins. Spirit of God just kept hitting while I was handing out those French fries and Cokes. And I was like, Lord, I got to write this down. So I'd always have, you know, you have a pen because you had to write down the orders. I just grab me my napkins and start writing these notes from the Holy Spirit, stick them in my back pocket in my Whataburger uniform. And then I had a box for them in my room. And there's no shortage of boxes full of notes at my house. We all know that. Yes, we do. So, you know, to this day, I'll go into the Whataburger napkin box and I'll pull out one of those notes, you know, right in the middle of the drive-thru crazy rush hour. And the Spirit is all over. I'm like, wow. You know, or sometimes I had to go clean that bathroom in Whataburger, and it was a bathroom just had one toilet in it. So you lock the door. There was times those notes got me. I had to go to that bathroom with my mop and, you know, fall on my face and cry before I mopped the floor. Well, you know what? Jesus. And you go back to the drive-through window and you're so full of the living God that whoever's getting a burger is also getting a little bit of the presence of the Lord. And that's called evangelism. Because you're with Jesus. With Jesus. There's no job or place where God can't turn it into evangelism. The only requirement is you and Jesus got a good thing going during that. You know, they got to come into something real, living, where the presence of the Lord is, you know, with a living Jesus action. That's what draws people. He draws people. And so, you know, part of our preparation is just our heart. Being fully in love, fully engaged, and fully filled with him. And I tell you what, if that's not the case, then you can have the 10-step program and the elaborately written skit and the incredible song that God gave you or whatnot, all these other things. And if he's not there and you're not full and the presence of the Lord isn't spilling over out of your broken cup, it doesn't matter. You know, usually at the end of that, they'll just start lifting you up. That was great. Didn't feel anything of God, but sure felt a lot of you. I like you. You know, you're like, wait a second, you were supposed to see Jesus, and you were supposed to fall in love with Jesus and ask him in your heart and be saved. You know, so it's a matter of heart. It's a matter of personal relationships spilling over to some other person. And isn't it wonderful that it's that way? It's wonderful that we have Christ in us as a life and not just a message of salvation. Amen. All right, let's look at this next paragraph. No, we're still on the middle paragraph. A snowball is small when it first rolls down a hill. But as it rolls, it gets larger and larger until it has finally become so big it begins to propel itself. That which is difficult, we do now. The impossible may take a little longer. So yeah, right, we may be just packing that snow. You know, I was raised in Minnesota, and yeah, that was a big part of my childhood, making snowballs. Our backyard was a hill, you can talk to Ben about the crazy things that happened on that hill in our backyard in Minnesota, but big snowballs were part of it from time to time. And you get that little thing, you know, but once you can get the snow to stick, when it's sticky snow, not just fluffy, and you start rolling it down the big hill, ooh, babe, by the time that's down at the end of the hill, that thing's big. And it's fast, and it could knock one of those neighbor kids right out of the path for your sled to get through. But, you know, but things gain momentum. Once you hold fast to the heart of Jesus and to the vision of this is for him, if it has life in it, if it's being propelled by the Spirit and the life and the dunamis and the fire of God, then it will build momentum. And if after a while, it'll start, you'll feel it, it'll start carrying itself, and you'll know, oh, the momentum is bigger than me just having to push it up the hill. All of a sudden, it's like electricity. It's like, ooh, something's happening. And we all know it's God, and it's starting to carry us. And it's easy. Once that happens, there's like this, I don't know what the word would be. There's this, electricity isn't the word, but there's this thing where we're all drinking the same water and the Spirit of God's moving. And, you know, I think we're experiencing a little bit of that right now. But it's more effortless. And we all are sensing his heart and his mind. We're getting filled up. So it's exciting. And it's the Lord. What's exciting is that it's the Lord. And that the Lord is filling and fueling and flowing and carrying things apart from the strength of man. But it takes that faithful diligence in those beginning stages. In the book of Acts, it says that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And that's Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. The Lord can only add daily when we witness to those around us on a daily basis. You know, the falling off the horse by blinding light and the lightning method isn't as quite as popular. He's kind of chosen to use his body now. It's the funniest thing. Here we are. He's inside of us. We're his preferred method. Go figure. So there you go. The Lord can only add daily when we witness to those around us on a daily basis. More will be required than holding two or three services a week. We cannot say we are not interested in numbers for it is to say we are not interested in those for whom Christ died. Well, we're not interested in numbers. We're interested in those the Lord adds. And I know that that's the Spirit and heart. So, you know, if we get more interested in numbers than we get in those whom the Lord is adding, we get a lot of extra special problems to deal with that aren't even the Lord's. Hallelujah. We got all kinds of time for that too, don't we? So we want to be in tune with the Lord, but we need to get out there, for the harvest is ready. If we truly believe the harvest is ripe and ready, then we must act. We must attempt to save the harvest before it rots. The whole body must be awakened to the fact that harvest time comes. The problem is not the timing or the right equipment or enough time. The problem is that the laborers are few. Jesus said the answer to this problem was for us to look upon the harvest fields. Look, he said, they're already ripened and ready for harvest. If we will look, we will see that the fields do not need any more water. The harvest is ready. Ask yourself this question: for what purpose did Jesus come? The Greek word from which we get our word evangelism means to tell good news. Considering world conditions, Jesus is the only good news there is. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful time to be alive with Christ in us. What a wonderful time to have opportunities to share the good news with a world that's desperately crying out for it, even if they don't know it. And so since 2010, our church and all of us have been praying for what we called, our pastor, Randy, called 2020 vision. The Lord gave to him, but he gave it to him in 2010. And in 2010, we began praying for that 2020 vision. And part of the 2020 vision had to do with scriptures, I believe, in 2 Kings, probably something with a 20 in it, probably 2020, having to do with Hezekiah building a conduit for the water to flow into the city. And we began to believe the Lord that he would teach us, as he did Hezekiah, that he would teach us how to build conduits for his life to flow and reach others and go further and even surpass the siege that was upon Jerusalem at the time of Hezekiah prevented them from being able to go get water or sustenance, because it was, as we all know, what a siege does. It corners you in without resource. So this conduit was provision in life-threatening times, life-giving water, and a place for it to flow. So we prayed that the Holy Spirit would give us God-inspired, God-created conduits for his life. And as we prayed and sought the Lord, he began to speak. In 2020, we had some fresh thoughts and ideas that their time had not fully come, but our spirits were being ignited by the Lord. And one of those things is, things that could reach this generation. And particularly the young adults that this time sought to gather in some materials that would be speaking to not just kids or younger people, but the issues, the things that affect this generation, which are different than my generation or the generations that have come before them. Their specific feel of this generation and what are they dealing with? What are the things that they are dealing with that affect them? What are they going through? The climate is totally different right now than it was when I was their age. There are things they have to bear. There are things that they are dealing with every day that I don't know, I didn't know in my time. And so having a group of young people that are that age was an incredible gift from the Lord. And we sought the heart of Jesus. We sought his heart for this generation, and we gathered materials, and those materials we began to put in that Other Place website, which we will be using for evangelism as a resource for people who are hungry, a resource that doesn't trigger any place or anything, just material to feed that hunger. We ourselves are creating a lot of that material, the young people, different places we feel releases that. And also during that time, we began to make tracks and we began to gather in poetry. I know Isaac's mom, Amy, wrote a phenomenal track from the Lord. Isaac has one from the Lord. It's just beautiful. Jason Main, just an incredibly precious track. Lindsay has poetry and stuff that are being made into tracks now. And Pastor Randy sought the Lord diligently for materials for this generation. And he said the Lord gave him a bunch of poems, all in a couple days, 13 poems. So that were given because of seeking the Lord for ways to reach this generation. So with Ireland coming and then also a time of evangelism coming, we're going to start printing those tracks. We're going to start preparing our something to offer. And so we're going to start getting those poems together. That's part of what our homework is going to be, those of us who are in the class, and I include myself. I'll be doing a lot of the homework myself, printing the tracks. But we're going to start taking those poems, and we're going to start just put them down and being ready to hand them out as resources of the Lord's heart. And the Lord say, I know where you're at. And so I've printed a few of those poems that the Holy Spirit, we read Amy's, and we read one of Isaac's last week. Did we read your poem? We did read it last week? Okay, good, because that was so precious. Well, so I've got a few more poems. I'm going to ask Isaac and Lindsay to help me read it. Myra, if you were in the room, it would be so wonderful for you to read some. I would have loved that. If I had a few more minutes this morning, I would have emailed them to you. Maybe I still can. But, well, for now, I'm going to ask Isaac to come up and read the first one. And again, these are poems that I may have you read a couple, that the Spirit gave Pastor Randy when he sought the Lord for materials that could resonate with this generation, reach what they're going through. And I ask your apologies that this one isn't fully in my binder as it should be.
Tell me the key. Feeling depressed, having no peace, I've been stepped on as if I'm the least. I am the good, they are the bad. Why is it me who always gets had? Someday I'll be great. God will see that. Others will scrape and they'll bow when they see where I've come to now. But until that time, I'll not be satisfied with the way things are going, and to the people who lied, for the times I cried, for the times I died. I will fight for the day that I am on the top, and put far behind my life with rot. There must be a key I can find to give renewed peace of mind. Renewed peace of mind. And I'll leave this garbage-filled life behind. I'm going to start here. There must be a key I can find to give me renewed peace of mind that'll take away this pain and settle my brain and leave all this garbage life behind. Do you know it? Can you tell me the key?
Let me go back to that one. So, thank you, Isaac. Let's listen to it again and think of it in terms of what the person we're handing it to might be going to through. Feeling depressed, having no peace. I've been stepped on as if I'm the least. I am the good, they are the bad. Why is it me who always gets had? Someday I'll be great, God will see to that. Others will scrape and they'll bow when they see where I've come to now. But until that time, I'll not be satisfied with the way things are going. The people who lied, for the times that I cried, for the times that I died. I will fight for the day that I am on top and put far behind me my life filled with rot. There must be a key I can find to give renewed peace of mind that'll take away this pain and settle my brain and leave all this garbage life behind. Do you know it? Can you tell me the key? We see in there the pro-self that rises in people who feel like they're being stepped on. They don't have the lamb to respond. And they know it's rot and it's garbage. But how do you deal? I want to leave it behind. Do you know it? Can you tell me the key? You know, that's more relevant than just laying out, you know. Everyone bleeds is the next one. Everyone bleeds, but most heal. But every flower dies. Am I alive? Is there a pill? Darkness never withers. It just fades, creeping back to its grave. But light can be sweet. It does not need to be coaxed. It rises to meet. To call forth the seeds out of man's sleepy needs. There's hope in the sun from the blood that doth run. And it strengthens our broken reeds. Yes, everyone bleeds, but most heal. Out in the cold. My life is in the toilet. I can't swim. I can't breathe. I can't believe. Family is not helpful. Friends are not near. Words are not clear. No help from a tear or two tears. Opportunities come, but I squander those. The chance came, but I froze. Who knows? Who knows what's true? I feel unloved, cornered and shoved, below, not above. Split half in two. I'm not of any race. I can't find my place. I'm a nutcase. Don't know just what to do. Do you? Do you? I feel like I'm outmanned. Can you lend me a helping hand? A smile if you can. A hug would be grand. Better, sing me a new tune so I can howl at the moon. Another one. Here's a real short one. What is this referring to? Multicolored jewels are just tools to discover him that rules. We can just put these in a little, you know, kind of track form. Okay, Lindsay, come on up and we'll have you do this one called The Talk.
the talk. The talk is not in the words, massive amounts of words, nor is it found in superior phrases, making inferior pages of us. Talk down to them and they will become impressed and bow, or show my teeth and they'll fall in heaps. She talks too much. He interrupts. They talk so loud, always drawing a crowd. But the talk is never just words, gathered together like birds on a line, taking up time. No, for the tongue can be such a thief, gobbling up time or spreading grief. But where is the honey that should flow so sweet? And where is the fragrance whose hearts it can keep? For the talk should bring peace, enlightenment, or love, and joy or challenge to the ear thereof. And hold us steadfastly in its spell, for what it came to tell from its living well. So be quick to hear and slow to speak, except when from the heart they leak. Then I will bathe in your treasures, abundance beyond measures.
Do you want to read another one? We'll have Isaac read another one.
Do cold nights make you worry, make you scurry? Does the winter make you fear? The summer does make you cheer? Are the good times your delight? The bad times such a fright in the night? Do you worry at loss of control over places and things you don't know? But can you control your soul? Why do you sit there and wait for his call to relieve what you think's behind yonder wall, when 'tis time to change the compartment from soul to the place of your heartment? There he rests, you must go, with eyes fixed ahead, not on soul. This then becomes the eternal goal. Was that the end? Yeah.
You know, a lot of times when we're quote-unquote witnessing or sharing Jesus, one of our classes we discussed, which means nothing, one of the things of the Lord's nature is that he listens and he comes to us where we're at and he cares in that manner. He reaches into those places. And you can hear that in the spirit of the poetry the Lord's given us. It's saying, I'm listening. We took 12 years listening. How do we build this conduit? And what are the people saying? And where are they at? And how can we reach them? And what tool could reach to them and bring water to where they're at under siege? Who's the siege? The Babylonians? The world. The spirit of the world. The things that are crowding their lives, constantly pressing down on their heads, relentlessly. This generation. Listening. Seeking the Lord. What kind of conduit? What matter of material? Some would say better. Others would say not relevant. Another would say won't work. Is it God who said, use this website, or that's the only issue. Taking time to hear, when we hear building, when we build in a spirit. For what? For the water of God's life to reach the hearts of those under siege in this world. And specifically hearing, yes, what the Spirit's saying and what they're saying. And I think in the poetry the Lord is giving us, we hear the Spirit's answer to some of those cries, prayers, and faith. And you go, well, that doesn't sound like a track. Well, but it is. It is. it's touching a place. It's touching a place in them. Let's see if we want to read another. What is my future? I'm scared to think about my future, about what my future holds, with life's twists and turns and uncertain modes. How can I have hope when things are so strange and unrestrained? Have I made right decisions that can open a door to a world that demands more and more and more and more? Did I choose the right school? Did I pick the right job? Can I navigate this life while surrounded by a mob? Should I date this person? Will it all work out fine? Will I have peace of mind at a later time? If I only had a glimpse of the future I'd find, would I sadly discover what I left behind? Or would a smile form broadly on this face of mine with what I find? Or has life been unkind? There's only one way that we can surely know, because it has been said that we reap what we sow. Sowing is now, while reaping comes later. What sow ye now, a garden or just a tater? So carefully choose what comes out of your mouth, and make daily choices, pure thoughts, for they make the difference how the future turns out, between what continues living and what rots. Wowza. You know, some of these reach in and become conversation starters because they touch places deep inside. And that opens them up not to, I need to be saved from hell, but I need answers, real answers to what ails me, what worries me, what I'm going through, my deep fears. And that's where we can share the Jesus who is our life, our everything, in the most intimate and real ways. And so these are a part of a conduit to reach into those places under siege and to bring life, to come to them where they're at with the love of Jesus. You know, another way that we've kind of looked into that is some pictures. We, during that time, we had a blessing of prayerfully seeking God for imagery that didn't look religious or carry within it some kind of a Christian feel, but would touch. Oh, and I don't even have some of the ones that I'd like to share. Oh, You know that one with the eyes and the, well, yeah. Well, let's show the ones we've got up from. But here's a few examples. These are maybe not the best. We have some that are so enigmatic, kind of. What's that word? Enigmatic, or it's enigmatic. There's some that are so. What does that mean? Ish. That they're meant to draw a conversation. And yet in the fabric of the picture will be a representation of Christ in a way that's not religious but true to his heart. Well, I don't know that I very quickly grabbed a few images. There's some that are much better than this, and maybe we can look at them at another time. But Lindsay, did you want to pull up the few that I sent your direction? That's fine. Sounds good. And they are on their way. They're running. They're coming. They're walking to your computer right now. This is where we take a sip of tea or coffee and just. Lovely. Oh, they're coming. Oh, there's one. Okay, so this is a little more Christian than I would have hoped for, and but nonetheless, so, you know, this one's called Reaching the Father's Heart. And it just shows Jesus, you know, in the flames, in the fiery trial, with the stripes on his back. But the mind of the Lamb burned into him. You can see that cross in his head. And his face and his arms just reaching up to glorify the Father through what he's going through. And of course, However, that does look a little more religious than a lot of the ones we've, a lot of the pictures we have. But it does, what does this mean? You can share so much, you know, just by talking about different elements. And that's what these pictures were given. They were part of seeking God for a conduit that would help reach people in a different, in a fresh, in a non-religious way. And so the art came as part of that prayer for means and ways. Part of our evangelism will be at times putting up an image. In fact, guys, remind me of that. I need to remember that. But we'll be putting up images and we'll just say, let's, you know, what does that mean? And particularly some that don't look like Jesus with a cross or something, but just wild, wacky stuff that has symbols of Christ being formed in you and the cross. I wish I had that one with a cross in his head. But anyway, let's go to the next one. And people can come up and say, what is this? What the heck? People love art, especially strange art that they can't understand, that they've got to take a moment to look at, what is that? And so that's kind of the feel that this type of art would draw people into a conversation. What does that mean? And now we're not talking about the Bible or scriptures or salvation, you know, jargon of, but let's talk about what this, that's Christ being formed in someone. But what do you mean Christ formed it? You know, I don't even, you might not even want to use those words, but this is showing the life of God wants to kind of grow inside of a human being, just like Mary, but in us. And, you know, so, Lindsay, do we have any more that you can get to?
Mm-hmm. I might have some of the other ones you were thinking.
Oh, that would be great. Okay, here's one. Oh, I forget what the name of this one is. What is the name? Oh, this has a great name, too. They're all named, and the name gives a clue, but I can't. Lindsay, we've got a black thing coming over the picture on our screen. There you go. Anyway, burning through the grave clothes. This is called burning through the grave clothes. So the person here, they are, you can see the mesh around the face. That's like Lazarus before his grave clothes. He's covered in the old, dead, fleshly ways, like we all can feel sometimes. We're wrapped up in our old fleshly ways. It's like grave clothes. And there's new life under them, but we're stuck. We're covered over, we're smothered in the old. But the name of this is burning through the grave clothes, because as he allows the mind of Christ to renew, you know, it says, be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, and says that in Romans. As this person that's bound up in their grave clothes allows the mind of the slaughtered lamb to be burning inside of them, not a teaching, but a fire renewing them, it's melting the grave clothes off. Well, I don't know how you put that in secular words to share with someone, but there's a lot of conversations that can start there, and that would be a great conversation starter for a Christian who doesn't know about the mind of Christ being a nature, a slaughtered lamb, a spirit that can burn away the flesh and bring forth new life. So that's a good one. There's a lot of conversations that can start, and it's just so weird looking that people will ask, you know, yes. What the heck am I looking at? Please explain. You know, oh, I'd love to. I thought you'd never ask. But once again, these were answers to prayers. Prayers prayed over a long period of time. And let's see what else we've got. Maybe we've got another one. I think we used one of these at the gathering this year. It's coming. It'll be coming round the computer when he comes. Mm-hmm. We're almost there. Oh, there it is. Okay. And this one is called, I'm trying to remember. Transformed by the Word. Okay, so I love this one because you've got what I believe it should look like in the Spirit every time we get in the Word. You can see the blood and fire of the slaughtered lamb piercing the inward parts of this person and making all things new, possessing the inward parts by the nature of the slaughtered lamb. And they're in the fire, they're in a trial, so the Word of God is getting lit up. It's real life, it's living, it's powerful, it pierces. It's a very much a Hebrews, I think it's chapter 3, where the Word of God is living and powerful and able to pierce asunder, dividing joint and marrow, soul and spirit, getting right into those inward parts and bringing forth Christ. And you can see that red line of blood piercing down into the organs of this person. You know, and that if you're wondering what's up there, that's a Bible that's on top. And all the spirit and life and blood is just pouring into this wonderful, I mean, can you imagine if that's what was happening, transformed by the Word every time we got in the Word? That is a wonderful picture to share to somebody who's got a heart to be a Bible school student. I mean, just like, man, is this what it looks like when you get in the Word? Because it can. It should. It does for me. Not always, but man, what an image. You can even see the hot, yeah. You can even see the blue in the hair. Like the fire is so hot, it's turning the hair blue. I mean, it's just like, Lord have mercy. I've been in, when I said I was in the Word today, this is what I meant, folks, right? This is what I meant. You know, for some people, they didn't even know that getting in the Word can be such a transforming, inward part piercing, life renewing, you know, slaughtering the old and bringing forth the lamb. The power, the Word of God is living and powerful and able to pierce asunder. Hallelujah. Well, Lindsay, did you find any more of the kind of weird ones? There's some weird ones out there. As if those weren't weird. Those are just the normal ones. Those are just kind of, oh, you know, these are the sweet ones. But we got some weird ones. And they are meant to be very weird. They're not meant to go, you know, probably on the halls of the church building. They're meant to go out there on the streets where people are drinking and what the heck, right? Or an art festival. What is that? We got a little dude there. He's just saying hello, but we're going to say goodbye. Okay. So I don't know what this one's called. It had a name. It's an oldie. Oh yeah, seeing yet blind yet, something like that. And so this one is more kind of along the lines of what we're talking about, where it doesn't look Christian, but it has tons of conversation starters in it. And you can see that on the one side, you've got all the black and white, and the eye there, it's open, it's focused, and it's meant to kind of radiate pride. I see, I know, I understand. I am. I am. I'm great. I see. And there's no life. There's no light. There's no movement of God. In fact, there's some scaling of the flesh. There's some debris, some decay, because it's fleshly. It's that pride that says, I see. But then on the other side of the line where there's yellow in the man with a wonderful mustache, he is... And the very long nose. He's lower. His eyes are closed in humility. He looks broken. And the Spirit of God is just coming down on him and being his light. There's light coming and God is giving him sight because he's broken and he doesn't see. He said to the Pharisees, if you say you see, you're blind. But if you say you're blind, you can see. I can heal you. And the light that is God's eyes in view comes to those who are broken and blind and not thinking they know everything, but thinking they need God to be. A wise man's eyes are in his head, it says in Proverbs. So there's that one. So many conversations that could be started, you know, just, and you don't even have to go into scriptures or Christian things. You just go look at that proud person thinks they know that person. Isn't that cool? I love that. I've always noticed that in my life. You know, there's lots of different things that can be said there. Lindsay, is there any other weird ones you want to pull up or can pull up? I know I didn't have much time this morning to grab the best examples, but we just need a quick little worship song here. Oh, okay. This is, it's called Into the Garbage Heap. And, this is Jesus. The metallic lines around him are the inside of a trash can. the bottom of it is just kind of the rot or the coal, just the garbage. And this is to show that when Jesus was put on the cross, hung on the cross, it's like they threw him in the trash. He was just thrown away as a piece of garbage. He was considered as a piece of trash, the off-scourging of the earth, a heretic, a blasphemer, a criminal, one of the worst criminals, and he was a throwaway. So into the garbage heap with him is what the church, his own people, the Pharisees, a bunch of his people, and of course Rome did. So that really opens up a whole new view of the cross. Into the garbage heap he goes. So again, that's a wonderful conversation starter. I mean, I don't know. We've got what? There's a lot of this art the Lord gave. So, you know, and the Lord may give others. The Lord may inspire others to to draw conversation starters. I know that there's artists here among us, but I know that you don't have to be an artist for the Holy Spirit to fill you and anoint you to draw. You know, that's just a gift he gives so others can know Jesus. And we invite the Spirit of the Lord to move in that way and to gather even more poems and more images. And there are other conduits that the Father gave and the Spirit has shared, but these are the two that we are landing on today. And we'll be actually doing some of these when we go on our first little outreach to Ireland and just being able to minister to kids. You know, I believe that, you know, tracts can be written by the children, to the children. We've got tracks from the last 25 years of little ones. I've saved many of them, writing tracks to kids their age because they know what they feel. I think it'd be wonderful to probably gather some tracks from the kids here before we go to Ireland, take them on when we go out to the beaches and the different places with the puppets to hand out their tracks. You know, it's a month and a half away. Probably that's something that could be done to prepare, you know, evangelism, kids speaking to kids on their terms, what they deal with, and it not just being a religious kind of Jesus loves you and saves you, which is true, and that's wonderful. But there can be something even deeper, like we're finding in these poems relating to the you know, 20 pluses of this generation. So may our hearts be filled, and may we just continue to let our faith rise, you know, let the harvest field for the Father's heart of more of his Son draw us. Let our prayers continue. You know, you don't have to be out there on the streets with a bullhorn. We're not going to use one, but you don't have to be physically doing it to be a huge part. The prayer and the faith is such an enormous part of evangelism. We are one body, and not every member be the arm, the head, the foot. Jesus is the head, forgive me. There is only one that's the head. But not every member be the foot. And so, you know, you may not be the one that hands out the track, or starts the conversation, or answers the questions. You may be the one that is travailing in prayer and releasing the Lord's Spirit and doing warfare in the background. My gosh, how important is that? Can't even say how important. It's so huge. So let's pray now and continue to release our heart and our faith for the actual evangelism that can pour through us. Lord, we thank you for this generation, for those who are the inhabitants of the earth today. Lord, there were people 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 2,000 years ago, but they're gone. There are those who are here today, and they still have free will. They can still choose. There's still time for them. We want them all to be ready. And we don't want to just silently, you know, watch when we could be reaching out your hand to them through our hearts, through our hands. We also don't want to extend ourselves forth until it is you in us. We want it to be you that they fall in love with, that they receive. So, Lord, we just put it all in your nail-scarred hands. We thank you for this time together to just share our hearts on this subject. And we want it to bring you glory. We want it to bring you so much, so much more of Jesus. We love you. Thank you for each one here today and who will be listening. And may our hearts be caught on fire by the Spirit of God. May our minds burn with a slaughtered lamb. May our eyes see only by your light. Lord, prepare us by your Spirit through your Son. In Jesus' name. Amen.